Hello, Matadoras. We're going to call all of you the Matadoras because we are ourselves the Matadoras. And we have started this entire process because a Matadora is a strong woman who is a female bullfighter who is facing a raging bull. And we loved that. We loved that for a name because we decided that a Matadora had a red flag. So she was very good at spotting red flags, get it, and escaping the bull of relationships. So that's why we named ourselves the Matadoras. So with you being Matadoras, that means that we are all in this together and that whatever bull you're facing, you do not have to face it alone. And that's why we have started this. So without further ado, this is our very first podcast, and we are going to be telling you our crazy, wild, dramatic, twist and turn story. I will say there's a lot of adult content because of what we went through. So maybe if there's young ones in the room, probably shouldn't be there. We're going to be kind of frank about what happened. And you can find us on thematadoras.com on our webpage. And there is an area there where you can actually book a free discovery call. We will be doing individual and health coaching and group coaching for women in toxic relationships. The health coaching is also including weight loss coaching. I'm a health coach and a life coach, and Lizzie is a life coach as well. And we're certified, and we've been through decades of bad relationships. So the health aspect came around because I also was very, very passionate about, you know, being your best self health-wise. After leaving a bad relationship, it can really mess up your health and your wellness and your weight, and everything else can go along with that, especially from the stress. So we kind of have it all. So you can find us on that website, and then you can book your free discovery session so you can talk to one of us. So we're going to also have group coaching classes. Those are going to be wonderful because there'll be a whole community of ladies that are there to support each other. And that should be up no later than February of 2024. So watch our website for that. We'll also be announcing it on our podcast too. Okay. So
yeah. I just thought I'd quickly, I was about to say, just so people know our names, I realize that they probably don't know who we are. They know we're the Matadoras. I am Lizzie. And the one that gave the most beautiful introduction of the Matadoras is Dina. And we are so excited on this journey and so glad that you're here to listen to our story, our first podcast. So I will go ahead and let Dina begin her journey.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the fact that we were married to the same man. Not at the same time. And at the end, we were going to let you know how we met and when this man went on to wife number three and then wife number four. So again, a very crazy story, very dramatic. And here we go. So I was 17 years old when I met Rex. We call him Rex because he's our ex. This guy was 19 years old and had gone to my high school. And I didn't know him in high school because I was kind of a nerd and he was like a jock, you know, they called him a jock back then. And this is in the 80s. And he was super popular and had all kinds of friends and everybody loved him and, you know, that whole thing. So when I did meet him, I was just about done with high school and he'd already been out for a couple of years. And he just swept me off my feet. He was, you know, told me he was a Christian. And when we got, you know, into closer conversations, he said he was a virgin and he loved God and all these things. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the one. Cause I was a good little Christian girl and, you know, really involved in church and everything else and was really, you know, waiting for the good guy. And here he was at my doorstep. Well, it wasn't long at all, maybe even just a few weeks before I realized that there were some red flags in this relationship. Very young, new relationship. And, you know, Rex actually had other women, girls at the time, really, that he was supposedly involved with. And these girls would say, hey, he was dating me just the other day, you know, when you were, and I was like, well, what? But there was always an explanation. Another rumor came out while we were dating that he was dating a married woman in another town. Not at this time now, but, you know, before he met me, he left that town and came back to his home where I lived. And he did that because he was dating a married woman and it caused all kinds of problems. And remember, this guy's 19 years old, okay? The married woman had a kid and she was like probably late 20s. And when I, you know, confronted him about it, he said that, well, no, we were just friends, that, you know, she was being beaten and abused by her husband. And it was just a friendly situation. Like, we were not dating in that sense. So, you know, always, explanations for everything that I thought was fishy and weird, and let it all go. Well, Rex just really wanted to get married. And I felt bad because I, you know, wanted to get married as well and didn't want to have sex outside of marriage. Because again, that was not what the church taught. So we married in 3 months. First red flag, do not ever marry somebody in 3 months, and do not give in if they pressure you to get serious quickly. So the first year of marriage was blissful, wonderful, perfect. And then after that first year, I just noticed some strange things, like he wasn't home on time. And finally, one time I confronted him about not being home on time, and he yelled at me, which he would do sometimes if I confront him for anything, even if it was just, you know, why didn't this happen? He started yelling at me and he said he was out buying me flowers and he couldn't believe that, you know, that I was getting on his case for that. And he was just in a rage. Well, then I found out later that the flower store where he supposedly went wasn't even open, nor were any flowers coming. But that he just gave some, you know, dumb explanation and there's nothing I could do. I just felt that sick to my stomach feeling something was wrong, but what could I do? So it wasn't long afterward that I found, and back then we didn't have cell phones in the 80s. So it was on our personal phone at home, all of these 900 numbers. We had a $900 phone bill and I was freaked out and I didn't know what that was. And I called one of the numbers and the most disgusting conversation, recorded conversation from a woman I ever heard in my life started going off in my ear. And I was horrified. So, of course, I confronted Rex in my rage and disgust. And he claimed that a neighbor must have come in all those times and used our phone, which was hilarious. Naturally, I didn't believe him. So, prying more and more into what was going on and threatening him that if he didn't come clean with whatever this weird, mysterious set of absences and all these strange, unexplained things that were happening, if he did not come clean, then I was leaving him. If he did come clean, I wouldn't leave him. So he came clean. And to my shock, those strange absences of him being gone from home were him out trolling the streets, looking for women who looked a certain way. I'm doing air quotes right now, so that they could possibly be a woman that would give him sexual favors. And he said that, you know, so often they would. And they didn't even ask him for anything. They just, by the time he complimented them and took them out for a little drive and told them how beautiful they were, and they end up giving him sexual favors. Well, you can imagine now, okay? I'm like an 18-year-old girl and absolutely floored. I had no idea what I was dealing with here. I didn't understand. I was disgusted. I was just completely betrayed. And I went and talked to his mother. And his mother revealed to me that he was actually arrested as a young teenager, about 15 years old, for pretending to pee and getting arrested for public indecency. And they arrested him at the high school. Also, he revealed that he would go on field trips for the high school and he would get a prostitute in one of the hotels. And these were just crazy things to think about, you guys. But I was so young. I was so naive. He was telling me these things and he was sobbing hysterically. And he was claiming that maybe he was molested as a kid, or maybe he blocked something out. Maybe there was a reason. And he's pleading and begging with me, begging me not to leave him. Well, eventually I did leave him because there were more things going on. And by the time I left him, we had a baby. So I stayed the first time because I was pregnant. But then about a year later, I couldn't do it anymore. So when my baby was just weeks old, I took off and I moved to another town where my mom lived. So at that point, Rex just lost it and started threatening to commit suicide, you know, calling me constantly, calling my friends, calling my parents, calling pastors, coming to the town where I lived, which was 4 hours away, wouldn't leave. Finally, after all the love bombing, I gave in and I went back with him. But first we had to get counseling, I told him, and he had to be accountable. And he did. He went, found a pastor in that town, told him everything, sobbed and cried and pleaded. And the pastor just had all this gentleness and kindness and assured me that things were probably going to be a lot better. So having faith in God, and that having faith that, you know, if I was a really good girl and I did what I was supposed to do, that things would turn around. So fast forward several years, here we are, and things are still happening. But, you know, there would be maybe 1 to 2 years where life was great. I didn't catch anything. I didn't find anything. You know, we started having more children and things were just in a honeymoon phase. But it seemed like a pattern about every 2 years where all of a sudden I would catch something else. Just looking back, at the time, I didn't really catch the pattern, but looking back, there was definitely a pattern. So there were other things that happened that were absolutely horrifying. I found out that he was going to strip clubs and adult places. And the last straw in this phase of our life was we were probably married about 5 years. And I walked in to the apartment where we lived, and he was laying on the floor with a phone book, and he was masturbating with somebody on the phone. Now, I remember back then, we didn't have cell phones, and you had to go to the phone book to look up phone numbers for everybody. Well, he was going through the phone book and finding random numbers, and he was actually trying to get a woman just to talk to him. And if she would talk to him, then he would try to get more and more sexual with what he was saying. Well, when I saw this, I realized that a friend that I was working with, you know, not much earlier, she had come into work one day just pale and disgusted and upset. And she told me that someone had called her and said that he knew her from, I don't know, somewhere. And that he, you know, kept trying to talk sexual with her and was saying some really disgusting things. And she was terrified because this person seemed to know her and seemed to know a lot about her. And I realized that this is exactly what he did to her. It was him. It was him that called her. It was him that, you know, was the one that did this to her and made her so sick, because her phone number was on my right there at our house, because we worked together and we had to call each other in at times. So I left him again. And, you know, each time I would catch something, and we were married 26 years, you guys. So, you know, every couple of years when this would happen, I would catch him and I would just leave. I would pack up the kids and I would move to mom's house. And each time, sometimes I would stay away for months and just, you know, I even filed divorce a couple of times. But each time there were, you know, terrible tears and suicide attempts and calling all the friends, calling everybody, begging me to stay, begging me to come back. And I would just give in to the pressure, you know, having a family, thinking that things would change. And, you know, when I look back now at myself then, I'm just dumbfounded that it took me so long to leave. And that's where I can say, if you've ever been in this situation, I understand, because, you know, you look back and you're like, how stupid could that person be? How dumb could she be? Look at all the stuff she went through and she stayed. Are you crazy? But I'm telling you, when you're in the situation, there's so much going on and there's so much confusion and you're in a trauma bond. And it's just not as easy as being on the outside looking in. So if you have a friend who's going through this, please, please be kind and understand that what they're dealing with, it's extremely difficult when you're on the inside and when you love them and when you have a family and when they are completely narcissistic and they are making you feel like it's partly your fault and making you believe that they're going to be better. So after years and years of all of this pattern, and by the way, we would go see pastors. He even went and saw a psychiatrist. We saw some excellent relationship counselors. Time and time again, everybody would, you know, advise us to just stay the course. We have all this history. He's probably getting better after all this time. And of course, he would be extremely repentant and just admitting all the guilt, pleading with the counselor to help him, and they would get sucked right in, just like I was. Finally, what ended it? A couple things ended it. A few years before we actually divorced, he ended up, instead of just going to sex clubs and 900 calls and all those, and by the way, flirting with all of my friends and making me feel sick and disgusted when he was around certain girls that were, you know, seemed to be more flirting back. After all of that, he went on a trip out of state and ended up having a real affair with somebody. Now that was so different than all these other, you know, fake quote unquote people. This was a real woman. They spent a weekend together. He had told her on the plane that I was a horrible wife and that they were separating and I didn't treat him well and all these things. And so she just fell right for it. And it was funny because it seemed like every time he would do something, it would be the craziest way that I would catch him. He'd never admit it. Only that first time, you know, when I threatened him that I would leave, did he actually come out and admit what he had done. Every single time after that, I had to catch him. So it was a constant sense of just, when's this going to happen again? And how am I going to catch it? But I swear, I feel like I caught him so many times. And this particular situation, it was so weird because he was out of state and I had to call his sister who he was staying with and something, I think the kids were sick or something came up and I had to give her a call and just say, hey, where's he at? And then she's like, oh no, he went off to this other town with his friend who lives here and they went to a baseball game. And I said, he doesn't have any friends that live there. And she was like, well, supposedly this guy, Todd, right? That's his. No, you know, we had lived in Texas for a while, but he didn't have any friends that lived there. He never really had a lot of friends. And so she said, well, that's weird. Well, he's in, you know, in a certain town and said he'll be back tomorrow. So sure enough, you know, when I confronted him, he always got that either horrific look on his face or he got furious, one of the two. And I knew he was caught. So he learned by now that if he was repentant and sorry and admitted everything, then there was a better chance that I would take him back versus lying and lying and lying until, you know, till I just didn't want to be with him anymore. So he did. He admitted the whole thing. And at that point, I just was done. I wanted a divorce. I didn't want to be with him anymore. So after some time, you know, that time we did not. It didn't end. Once again, it was one of the 9 times I left. But the second final straw, which really killed it, was when the kids were grown and they were gone, which, by the way, he was very mean to our kids. He was always in a bad mood. He was always cranky. Everything they did irritated him. We hated going on trips with him. He just snapped and yelled and they couldn't giggle at the table or go out to dinner and have fun. He was worried about whether everybody thought about him. And So having the kids at home was always so hard because I was always trying to be the, you know, the buffer and the fun, happy, good mom that took care of them so they didn't have to be, you know, in his wrath all the time. So when the kids moved out, it was like that alone just made our relationship so much better and easier. And by the way, he had gone ahead and gone to a 6-month program for sexual addiction. And he lived there. And I thought that was amazing. And he came home and all was well for such a long time. And so I really thought that we were there, you know, things were better. And so we went ahead and just went along as normal. And then the final straw was when I thought that, you know, life was good. It was just he and I. And next thing I knew, we're driving away from this romantic trip in California. And on his cell phone comes a random call. And a woman, when I answered the phone, a woman said, "Who's this?" And I said, "You called me." And she called from a blocked number, which I thought was strange. And I could tell she was outside somewhere. It wasn't like she was calling from a business or anything like that. And then she said, "I want to know who this is. And I want to talk to Rex." And I said, "No, you tell me who you are." And then she hung up. At that moment, all that nausea and that just knowing, that gross knowing that you know something feeling, it was there. And I just knew, even though it had been, he went through the recovery program, he seemed to be doing so much better. We were in this blissful place in our relationship. I thought we had come out the other side. Finally, everything I'd prayed for and everything I'd asked for had now come home to roost. And, you know, all that we went through and all the pain and everything was now for, you know, for a good reason. And by the way, I always believed that everything we went through was for a reason. I believed it with all my heart. I believed that we were going to make an impact and help people. Matter of fact, we would actually speak at engagements. You know, if we went to a couples retreat, or, you know, there were a couple of times that we were at other functions and we were asked because we were very open about what we'd gone through in our marriage. So we'd be asked to get up and speak in front of groups, and we would do it. We would tell our story. And then when he would get up to tell his part of the story, he would cry and he would weep and he would talk about how horrible he felt and how sad he was for what he had done. He even would counsel men in some men's groups, help them out. Like, we did a whole lot of, you know, intervention for other people and other couples going through this. So this just seemed like the exact right path. This is where we were supposed to be until that last phone call. At that point, I had already gotten to a position in my life where I couldn't take this anymore. But again, it'd been years, so I thought I wouldn't have to. So once I got that phone call, I went ahead and I didn't normally go and break into his phone and do all those things, but I did. I had to know. I had to know what was going on. So I did. And the next day while he was at work, I actually found this email address of his that I had no idea existed. And when I was able to easily hack into it, because the place that he went for rehab, he used the name of that place as his password so that he could remember that and have some accountability and be reminded of where he's come from. Well, he had this secret email address and he used that accountability password, which ended up having all of his smut in there. All the disgusting things he was doing were in this email address. And the one that killed it was there was a deleted email file. And in there were all these deleted emails where he was contacting women on Craigslist and trying to arrange sexual favors while he was on vacation with my father, because they were going on several trips to see different NBA games. And they'd made this whole year plan where they would go and do all these different, you know, different games and different fun things that guys would do. Well, Rex would get the hotel and check in early before my dad would meet him there. And that's what he would use throughout this year to contact Craigslist women and use his hotel room for his sexual stuff before dad would get there. So after all these 26 years of trying to make things work and trying to keep our family and trying to make a reason, a good reason and a good outcome for all that we'd been through, because I really wanted to help other people. But I was done. It was this strange sense of calm that came over me, where before, whenever we were about to split up, it was always full of drama and just being terrified for the future and terrified to be alone and terrified to be single. And what about the kids? And, you know,
church.
All of it. It was just awful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This time, it was just a strange sense of calm that this was the right thing to do. It was absolutely 100% the right thing to do. And nobody could change my mind. And I wasn't even emotional this time. I was just like, I'm done. I'm just done. And I'm calm and I'm collected. And I'm telling him I'm done. And I'm showing him what I found. And no matter what he said, and no matter how he sobbed, and he would stalk me wherever I was going. He would meet me in a parking lot. He called me a couple of times. You know, I'm about to drive off a cliff right now. And he's hysterically sobbing on the phone. You know, he's going from being furious to begging and pleading to sobbing. And this went on for a couple of months. And I was just so resolute. There was nothing. So that is where our relationship ended. And then Lizzie's going to tell how she met Rex right after this.
Yeah, well, I have a hard time knowing. I think Dina and I have kind of gone through some dates and stuff. Some things kind of overlapped a skosh, but I would say that I was married for 14 years to my first husband. There was a lot of emotional abuse involved, a lot of religious abuse, a lot of control and all that stuff. I had 4 children, and there was a lot of sexual addiction as well in that relationship on top of it. And so I understood what she was saying. When you're done, you're done. Because I had left my first husband about 5 times. And the last time it was like, I can't do it. There's just no way. So I was single. I think because I really didn't enjoy my marriage, I was single for like 10 years. And I'm not going to say too that having 4 kids, going to school full time and trying to work in between all that didn't affect any of that, because my first ex-husband left the state because he realized he lost all control. So I pretty much had to solo it. And I had a great community. I had a lot of support. So I was pretty blessed in that aspect. But I think I always wanted another relationship. But I think I always would, when I would date people that I can kind of keep at a distance and kind of control anybody ever controlling me again, because I don't want to go there again. So after 10 years, I was on a Christian dating site. I did that from time to time. I would just, hey, why not? Give it a try. So I went on a Christian dating site. And actually, to be honest, I was kind of done at that point. And then this person reached out to me and I kind of was like intrigued. So we started communicating and all of that. And things went kind of quickly at that point. We were both, you know, the Lord was talked about a lot. And, you know, he knew scripture and seemed to love the Lord. And those things to me were incredibly important. And then when we started dating, it was more like, it wasn't about whining and dining me kind of thing. It was helping me with my kids, with 4 boys. They were all very active in their own way and their own type of activities. So he would help with getting them to and from whatever practice they were in. He would help me with, you know, dinner, other types of things, grocery shopping. Well, that to me, I think at that moment spoke my love language, because it was so nice to have someone try to come beside me and try to support me and be there and walk beside me. So, you know, at that point, it went really quickly. We got married probably about 4 to 5 months later, which, as we all say, don't marry that fast, right? Just because you see all the green lights doesn't mean it's okay to go. So we got married, and then we talked about him retiring because with his job, he could retire within so many years. And, you know, you can, with each step that you can make as far as like moving up the ladder, so to speak, you know, it affects your retirement. You know, you get more money each month, blah, blah, blah. So I left the state of California, which is where I was mostly from. And we moved to 3 different states, 2 of which were because of his job transfer. And then the last state we moved to together, it was actually towards our retirement. This is where we wanted to land. This is where we wanted to build roots together. And I would say a couple of months after we had moved there together, I had found a text pop up on his phone. And so I picked it up. And at that point, I knew all of his codes to get into his phone. I was like, Dina, you know, it's not like I have no desire to check up on a spouse. You know, I had 4 kids. I did a lot of that in my first marriage. Why would I want to do that in another marriage, right? But I opened up his phone and I saw images. I saw text messages to not just one woman, but multiple. And first of all, I had shock. I mean, what do you say after that? And then I was like, oh no, this isn't going to work. And then he walked in the door and he noticed that I had his phone and he said, you found out, huh? And he became devastated, kind of like what Dina said. He sobbed. He was repentant. And he was remorseful and he wanted to make us work. He was like, don't leave me. Don't. I'm sorry. I'm so glad you found it because now I can be held accountable. And we were actually getting ready to go to one of his daughter's wedding. And at that point I was like, I am not going to go. I have no heart to go. I'm disgusted. This is sickening. And he begged and he followed me and was so remorseful. And he said he'd do whatever it took to save the marriage. And, you know, the hard part was that I didn't obviously go through all of this stuff the same way Dina did. I think because my children were not his children, he knew there was probably fine lines to follow. and I didn't sense all the stuff that she did. But what I did notice was his just pattern of trying to ask for forgiveness and trying to get me back. And I ended up going to the wedding with him. We supposedly talked about, I put that in quotation marks, talked about trying to really make us work. And his passion for me and the life that we've had. So we stayed together. So we had another 2 years that we were together and, you know, everything seemed to be going fine. You know, everything seemed to be going well. And then we were both working at a school district. He was actually working as like a resource cop, school cop. And I was a school teacher or am a school teacher. So we worked for the same school district. So we both had the summers off. So we took this wonderful motorcycle trip that took about 2 months of our summer. And I'm not going to lie, it was a great trip. We went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And so, you know, I'm thinking everything's fine. And so the next thing I know, we get back and his behavior starts to get really strange. And he started to become really mean. And he told me, I'm not really happy with this marriage. I'm not happy. And so then he said, well, I'm going to meet with somebody from work on the weekends and some of the evenings, like one night a week or whatever, to really work on our relationship. And he's going to be there to help support me, talk through things, whatever, so that we could work. It's the only way you and I are going to work. Now, at this point, I'm like dumbfounded. Not only am I heartbroken, I feel alone. I feel confused. And none of it just made sense to me. How can you come back from a trip that you think is really great? How can you live with somebody for almost 6 years and all of a sudden they tell you they're not happy and you think everything's fine? That's a huge, like, number one, that's a huge red flag. And then you really question, what did I do? What did I say? What all kinds of thoughts kind of go through your head. Then it got to the point where he was like, not going to go out in public with me. Okay. We're married. You're not going to go out in public with me? And then I tried to get into one of our accounts and I was locked out. And then I tried to get into our Verizon account. I was locked out. So things just weren't making sense. And then when I tried to approach him about it, it was like, it just kind of got off topic. Or like he would start crying. Like he was the one that I was hurting instead of what he was doing. And then one weekend, he said, I'm going to be gone for the whole weekend. You will not probably be able to get a hold of me. I'm going up to the mountains and I'm going to pray and get counseling, work on myself so that I can save this marriage. And see, with moving around like I had with him, I didn't have friendships. I felt very alone and isolated just because I didn't have someone close by to go talk to. So that brought a different type of grief as well. But I also thought that was weird. Why leave, go up into the mountains for a weekend? I said, can I meet this person? He goes, no, not yet. Maybe later. So he leaves for the weekend. And at that point, he was in charge of the bills and the finances. And he said, well, I only took about $20 to put a little gas in the car, and I'm leaving you $20. So I had $20 to last almost 3 days. And that was like very degrading. I'm 55. I'm a professional woman. I've raised 4 kids and I have $20. And at that point, my sister came into town that same weekend. So it was perfect. And I knew at that point when she and I were talking, I was just broken. I was hurting, alone, ashamed. Because I felt like it should be different. And I look at my sister, I said, I think I'm going to leave. So literally by saying that, we got a U-Haul truck. I will say my sister did a bulk of all of that because I was just a hot mess. So we got a U-Haul truck, loaded it up. I had no place to live at that point, but I knew I was not going to go back into living with him in that situation. Now, that didn't mean that I thought my marriage was over. It didn't mean at that point I was thinking of divorce. I just knew that this wasn't working. And that probably the only way to save our marriage was to do something like this. Well, I found a place to live. He comes home. And of course, he calls me totally devastated that I had moved all my stuff out. I took our only bed, left him a couch. And he was just like, I can't believe you would do this to me. I was trying to save our marriage. I was trying to do this and that. And of course, I was feeling really bad because I loved him. I thought we had an almost 6-year relationship that was good or decent. It wasn't perfect. But with my perception, I thought it was okay, that it was good. So at that point, I kind of kept everything going. With the separation. And I wasn't going to file yet for the divorce, even after he called and said, I put the nail in our coffin of our marriage. So what happened next was I wanted to get back into our Verizon account. And once again, he denied me. And I said, are you talking to another woman? He says, well, what if I am? What are you going to do? I said, well, at this point, I need you to release my phone because I'm going to have to go through a divorce because I'm not going to go through this again. And in between all of that, I also reached out to Rex's oldest son and told him that I had left their dad. Because when Rex realized that I was done, he started talking about things like taking his life and doing things like that. So I felt like it was important for his children to know what he was going to do because someone had to be there to support him. I mean, not that I expected to have the kids, but I just felt like I had to tell somebody, so to speak. So he said, well, I'm not surprised. Thank you for letting me know. And is it okay if I reach out to my mom and let her know? Because she had lived with him for 26, off and on for 26 years. And then I'm going to also tell my siblings if that's okay with you. And I said, absolutely. So literally within minutes of hanging up with the oldest son, Dina reaches out to me. And it was just a sweet, simple text. She said, you are not crazy. You are not alone, pretty much is what it said. And I know exactly what you're going through or what you went through with him. And you are 100% affirmed in what you're thinking right now. So as I proceed, in that point, I think, Dina, that is when our friendship and relationship developed. That's when we made a phone call. I think you called me like a couple of days later. I think we were on the phone for hours. I remember sitting on the floor in a corner because I had no furniture. So I sat on the floor in a corner of the house. And Dina, you just unfolded your journey with Rex and everything that you had gone through. And at that point, I knew the divorce needed to happen. I had an appointment with the lawyer and all of that, but it didn't mean that it didn't take away my hurt, my pain, my confusion. And one thing Dina always said was, he doesn't love you. He doesn't love anyone. And I always felt like if a parent won't be there and love their children or change because they have children. To me, I always felt, because that's what I went through with my first marriage. I always felt like if they won't do it for their children, they're not going to do it for me. So I 100% agreed with Dina. And Dina, I'm kind of curious, what through your head when your son reached out to you and shared a little bit about it, what I was going through, because you and I have never really had that discussion. I think it'd be a quick little blurb to put in. I'm just curious to see exactly, you know, did you say, oh, finally someone understands? Or was it like, oh, heck no. What were your thoughts?
Well, so Lizzie, as you know, and as I've apologized to you in the past about this, I always felt really guilty because I knew that Rex had lied to you because obviously, you know, I have four kids and now he's getting married. And I knew that he kept pressuring me to say, when is our divorce final? When's our divorce final? Because he had met somebody. But he had told the kids, our kids, that he had told you that not only did I live in a different state than the one where we all lived, but that we'd been divorced for a couple of years and we weren't even divorced yet. So he roped you in so quickly, lied to you from the very beginning. And then when my daughter told him, she said, listen, I'll come to your wedding with Lizzie because Lizzie seems like a wonderful woman. But if she asks me anything at all, I am not going to lie to her. And at that point, Rex made sure to conveniently not tell the kids where he was getting married and sort of uninvited them just by default so that my daughter wouldn't spill the beans. So my daughter said to me, Mom, you need to tell her. You need to tell her what kind of person he is and what all you've been through. And I just said, you know what, sweetheart? I feel like she's just going to think I'm a crazy ex, just like anybody else would. She's not going to believe me. It's going to make things awkward. You know, she's going to be your stepmom. And I know you guys aren't little kids anymore. You've all moved out, but you're still probably going to be a part of her life for, you know, all these occasions that are happening. And I don't want to start our relationship off on that kind of a foot. So to be honest, when the kids called me and said, "Mom, Lizzie is leaving Dad, and I really think it'd be great if you called her because she's going through a lot and she doesn't understand who he really was with you. And I think it's going to help her have a lot of clarity." And at that point, it was such a sense of relief, Lizzie, because you and I think maybe we had one brief conversation the whole time you were married. We didn't really know each other at all.
Right.
You know, I just knew what the kids said about you. Hmm. And so having the ability now and the privilege to be able to talk to you and tell you what I went through with him, so that you understood that you weren't crazy and what you were seeing and what you felt like you were seeing was real.
Right.
It was amazing. It was a huge sense of relief. It was like I kind of, you know, repaired the past. And then I was also able to tell you that I was sorry that I didn't warn you and at least take that chance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and at that point forward, Dina and I were probably nonstop in communication. It developed into not like just her supporting me, but just developed into a wonderful relationship. And, you know, it's not the normal way I think anybody would want a relationship to be built. But I guess it shows that there is beautiful things that can come out of some very dark times of your life. So after...
It's been about 5 years, right? 5 years now that we've been friends?
2019. The beginning of 2019. So
And at that point, when Lizzie and I started being friends and started, you know, realizing all the things that had happened, and then what happens next with his next relationship, and we'll tell you that as well.
Yeah.
Crazy story.
Yeah.
But at that point, we just said, and Lizzie is the one that really said, "I have to tell my story. We can't let other women experience these things." So,
yes.
Okay. So talk about the next phase.
Exactly. And I was going to say, when my divorce was final, I still had things in the house, and this will develop into the next, but everything just opened up. So I go to my old home to pick up my stuff, and I go in. He had left me a key because I'd given my key when I moved out. And so I'm getting all the stuff that I had listed out in the divorce papers. And I see these cards, these envelopes on the floor in another room. So I'm thinking they're from me because it looked kind of like my writing, you know, the way the name was written, Rex's name was written. So I pick it up and I open them up and they're from another woman. And the irony, the most amazing thing of all was there are dates on every single message. She wrote dates on them. And when I read the cards and the notes, three things instantaneously came to my mind. Number one, I was supposed to go through the divorce, that any guilt that I had at that point, because he had begged me to come back up to the minutes that I went before the judge. But something, and I believe it was God, kept saying, "Nope, nope, nope, keep going, keep going, keep going." So it was the affirmation that I needed. Okay, so the three things. Number one, I was supposed to get the divorce. Number two, she's a child of God. And number three, she had no idea that I existed and that she needs to know. So I, after finding these messages and her pictures in different types of envelopes and places of around the house, I just took pictures of everything, including the dates that were written on them. And there were some pictures of him and her. I know that was probably all an accident on Rex's part, but it was sure a great God thing for me. I remember shaking so much because of the shock. It was like, all those questions that I had, Dina, I just remember I was just like my shock, just like my whole body was shaking. So I still try to get stuff out of my house. And so I go around the corner and I remember going into a safe place because I was petrified the whole time that I was getting my stuff, that he would come home. That scared me. And what would he do if he saw me see those cards and everything else? And when you realize that a person that you are married to was living a double life, you realize you don't know that person. Not at all.
Yeah. And for like just under a year, he was married to you.
Yes.
And with her. Yep. And that included all the wonderful trips you were taking, you know, when the marriage was good. You know, that was all that time frame. You know, he didn't start acting crazy and mean and horrible to you and weird and blocking you out until, you know, he'd already been with her for quite a long time.
Well, actually, yeah, it was like at least a couple of months for sure. Yeah, it was just crazy. I mean, it was just, it definitely put me in this fear factor. Like, I was afraid of what he would do once he realized that I knew. And so I remember calling Dina, and then we're on this huge like quest to find her, because I think Dina and I both agreed she needs to know, whether she wants to believe us or not, she needs to know that, you know, who he is, what he did, the double life that he was trying to portray. And we spent a lot of time trying to look for her while I still lived in that state. But then it got uglier, you know, whether it was like text messages from him. I think he realized that I found out. I noticed his text or his calls became a little different, a little more. So did you see anything else around the house? Like trying to say, I mean, any of your other stuff that didn't get put in that whatever. And I was like, no, no. So I tried to act like I didn't see anything. But I think he was pretty nervous. And by the way, I never recommend anybody to go into a house to get your things by yourself. You should always have someone with you. In fact, my counselor at the time said, don't you ever do that again. So I better put that in there before I forget. I didn't really do the wisest thing. So as Dean and I are trying to search this person, Rex is going a little crazy at the end. I actually started to be afraid for my life, because I realized that he went into my classroom and saw that my pictures of him were down and everything else. And he was confronting me about it. And he was actually getting a little hostile, you know, just getting a little aggressive. And he has
guns.
What was that?
He's a gun guy.
He's a gun guy.
He owns guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was an instance before where, because I refused to talk to him, he went to my son's house and bullied him and had a gun. My son, thankfully, with the counsel of my sister and her husband, they said, Sam, call the police, call the police. So the police came. And, you know, of course, he weaseled his way out of that and all of those things. But I literally, because of all this stuff that I was unraveling, and there was still a lot more there, but things were just coming out of the woodwork. It was just unbelievable. If I didn't live it, I would not have, like, I'd say this is like some people would say a Lifetime movie. But I eventually had to leave my job a little bit early, and I ran out of the state because I was scared. I was uncomfortable. I didn't trust him not to just show up. And I frankly, at that point, thought he was crazy. And I remember Dina reaching out to this person, and we're going to call her Jane, and left her a message on Facebook. Do you want to share that part? Because you waited.
I was going to say,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we found her on Facebook, you know, months before we actually got in contact with her, and we were trying desperately to get in contact with her, but of course we weren't friends, and we couldn't really ask to be friends. You know, we were trying to be very discreet to protect her. And so we did everything we could for months. And then finally I just left her a Facebook messenger, even though I guess it went to a different place in Facebook because we weren't friends. But I did leave a message, and it kind of said this. It said, Jane, listen, when you find this, Lizzie and I have been trying to locate you. We've been trying to communicate with you. We can tell by your Facebook, because we could see her on Facebook. We can tell that you are a wonderful person. People just love you. And, you know, we don't see pictures of Rex on the Facebook with you. So we don't know if you're still with him or not, because by this point they had been separated. Lizzie and he had been separated for quite a while.
But and not to interrupt, but actually what I wanted to say was Dina wanted to wait. We both wanted to wait to reach out independently on Facebook until I was out of the state in case someone knew something happened. And I was asking people at work, because I live kind of in a small community at that point. I was probably looking crazy trying to find, do you know who she is? Do you know who she is? Do you know who she is? Because I was like, so I felt crazy. Like I had to find her. I had to protect her. And I know people thought, well, she's not going to believe you. Like, I know I had to be like, oh, here comes Lizzie. We better hurry up and hide because we don't want to, you know, talk about this or whatever. But it was that much that drove me crazy. Like I could not rest, like that internal rest. Like I was constantly in this like turmoil for her. And I would just pray for her. And when I found out her name, I couldn't stop just saying her name and say praying for the Lord to protect her and to guide her, to give her wisdom, to see whatever. So needless to say, I kind of wanted to say that that was kind of an important part, because Dina did wait until I left the state, because she actually sent it the day I think I pulled into Colorado. Go ahead.
So when I left that message, you know, I was really hoping that we would hear from her soon, because I knew that what Rex did was he would pull you in and try to get you to marry him quickly. Because, you know, if you found out who he was before you were married, he didn't have nearly the chance of getting into a long-term relationship with you. So again, I just said that, you know, Lizzie and I, we see you. We see that you are a wonderful person. I don't know if you're still with him or not, but we want you to know that if you find this, you can call, or you don't have to. It's up to you. But we know that you didn't know he was married when you were with him. We're very sure of that, just by the character that we see on your Facebook page. So please do not feel bad, and please don't beat yourself up or feel guilty. It seems like he just chooses a certain type of woman that are very good women with a lot of character that would never cheat. So we want to make sure that you know that we support you and that we care about what you've been through. And you're free to reach out at any time, and we would love to talk with you.
So I'm going to, you did. And it was crickets. So I'm going to fast forward it 6 weeks later. Go ahead, Dina. And we'll just kind of give a quick story what happened next, because this is just like mind blowing.
Yeah. So about 6 weeks later, I am driving to an engagement where I'm going to be a speaker for breast cancer awareness. And I'm very, very nervous. And of course, me being ADD, I didn't prepare like I should have. And so I'm trying to rush there to get there in time to actually prepare the speech before I get up to speak. And guess what happens? Here comes a phone call, a Facebook phone call. And I said, oh, no. Sure enough, it's her. It's Jane. And I answered the phone, and I shouldn't have, because I had barely set enough time aside to just prepare to speak. And but I couldn't help myself. I'm like, I have to do it. I have to. So I answer the phone, and there's this sweet, adorable voice on the other end of the phone. And she said, is this Dina? And I said, yes. And she said, listen, I got this message from you, and I don't know how I even found it. She said, but I want to know what's going on. I'm so confused. I don't know what you're talking about. Can you please clarify what you meant by this message? And I said, well, Jane, I said, Lizzie and I just wanted you to know that are you still with Rex, first of all? And she said, yes. I said, okay. I said, so you know that I'm his first wife? She said, yes, I know who you are. I know about your kids. She's like, we're together. We've been together. And since whatever date it was, you know, it's been close to a year, but this point. And she said, but I need to understand. So I said, okay, Lizzie and I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we know you didn't know he was married when you were dating him. And we wanted to make sure that you didn't put any guilt on yourself, and that if you wanted any support or if you had any questions, you know, that we want you to be able to reach out. And there's this long pause. And then she said, "Who is Lizzie?" And I said, "What? Who's Lizzie? I know about you, but he hasn't been married to you for like 7 years. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. He didn't tell you about Lizzie, his second wife?" And I hear the panic rising in her voice. And she said, "He's married?" And I said, "Well, he's not now. I mean, they've been divorced for a very short time, but he was for the past six something years." And she's like, "What? Where does he, where do they live? Where?" And I said, "They lived in this town not far from, you know, where you live." And then she just starts panicking. And she says, "You mean that little tiny house where he was taking care of that old lady and old man, and they let him live there for free?" And I said, "Care of a little lady and little man."
No.
He was with his wife in the house. And she's starting to just flip out. And it wasn't like she was questioning, like, prove it or whatever. And so she said, "Is that the red coat? The red coat that I'm wearing right now?" And she's getting even more panicking. "Is this red coat that came from that little lady as a gift to me? Is that really his wife's?" And I said, "You know, shock. I don't know anything. Yeah. I don't know anything about a red coat, but yeah, there's no old lady there. So yes, that would be Lizzie's red coat probably." And she's now in full panic mode. And now she's asking me question after question after question, wanting to know when they were married, wanting to know every detail. And he had done the most seamless job of being with her children in the evening, going to their games for, you know, almost this year, just being part of the family, met her mom, was at her home all the time, and literally had a complete and total life with her and her children.
And then come to find out, I was just going to say, you had sent that that message like on a Saturday, and then you found out that they had gotten married that day after you had sent that message in Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what ended up happening is that she, in her panic state, she said, "We just got married." And I said, "Oh, Jane, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. We tried to reach you sooner. He's not a good man." Well, yeah. Now she's in a full blown panic because her son, her grown son, is off on a motorcycle ride with him right then and there. And they went out of state together on this fun guy trip.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's freaking out that maybe he's going to hurt her son, you know, yeah. And she's, and I, you know, I calmed her down that he's not the type that's going to go harm her son, but he's definitely the type that is going to do all kinds of other things behind her back and basically ruin her life. So that was the phone call. And to find out, the only thing that she wanted at that moment was to talk to Lizzie. She said, "I have to talk to Lizzie. I have to compare notes. I have to know what is going on." And you know, because she was asking me about certain trips that he went on and certain, you know, little disappearances from him that she thought were weird. And she wanted to know. And I couldn't answer any of those questions. So anyway, she ends up calling Lizzie like right after me.
Well, yeah, it was kind of crazy because you actually called me first and you said, "Oh, my goodness, guess what?" I said, "Rex married." She goes, a little more than that. They're not only married, she had no idea you existed. I said, "Why does that not surprise me?" Because we were praying for her over and over. I mean, it was like, we were crazy to just think that anything could happen and marriage and everything. And I remember Dina saying, "Hey, you can give her a call right away. I know she really wants to talk to you. I'm going to try to do this presentation now on the breast cancer awareness and get my head together." And you poor thing, I think you were able to kind of soar with that one. But I call Jane back and she couldn't answer. So I just said, "Jane, we've been praying for you and you are an answer to my prayer." So from that point on, we did a lot of talking. It was like me, Jane, Dina, Jane. We were constantly talking with her and just trying to just, you know, kind of share stories or, you know, experiences or whatever. So she found out on a Saturday. By Sunday, I believe she got a lawyer. And they were coming home from their motorcycle trip that Monday. So you talk about somebody that worked fast. She could have said, I'm just going to figure this out on my own. She could have said, I don't believe you guys. But she took what we said and she believed us. So she's had everything lined up from that point before he got home from the trip. And he drives up in the motorcycle with her son, and there's police cars. And they pretty much serve him. His car was packed to the gills, so to speak, with stuff. And with a restraining order, they said, you guys, you can't come around. You've got to go. You have a 14-day restraining
order. An annulment to the marriage. Mm-hmm. And a restraining order, annulment. Yep. She knew everybody in town, and she knew the hot people in high places, and she had that all done. And he was in absolute shock getting off that motorcycle, and these police are standing around and telling him, get out of here. Your car's loaded. Don't ever come back.
And I think one of the things that Jane said to us was, you know, Rex said, well, you didn't even listen to my side of the story. Well, I think Dina and I looked at each other, or we're talking one point, and I was like, what other side is there? You lied, you manipulated, you cheated, you deceived two families in this one instance. What side is there? I wasn't
well.
Perfect.
That's how I always got out of things before, Lizzie. He always came up with his, you know, crazy explanation and love bombing and sobbing and crying. And this girl was so smart.
Yeah, she was.
Hats off to her that she did not let him do any of that. She just took matters in her own hands, and he was done.
And she did a great, job, really listening to the truth, standing firm, you know, in the whole process. She did not wait to hear his side, because that was just a little too far, you know, of just unanswered information that should have been brought out from the beginning in a relationship. So she and I had talked one point to reach out to his superior with his job, because felt like that they needed to know because of the type of job that he had. And word got to Rex, because he was going to stay in town and try to work that job. So he fled the state, quit his job, fled the state to move down to be closer to his sisters. Well, guess what? Literally within probably guess what? There was another person he met. And and it was posted all over social media. That's a strange thing, isn't it? And of course, someone saw it, found it, and shared it with Dina, that he's already seen somebody literally within a few weeks of Jane. So anyway, once again, he married within 4 months, but someone tried to warn this other person, his behaviors, his lies, whatever. I'd say Jane really tried to let her know. And she just was like, nope, I'll find this out all on my own.
And she said, and you guys are crazy.
So, yeah, we're crazy. Which, okay.
So at least we tried.
All you could do is try and let it go, right?
Tried to warn her. Yeah. Yes. And it was, how long later was it? Is he 3 years later?
If that.
That she called us up. We'll call the fourth person Diane, right?
Yes.
Diana. I think Diana. We made up Diana. We'll call the fourth lady victim Diana.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took, you know, a couple of years or so before she ended up calling us, all of us, and apologizing profusely and saying, I am so sorry. I didn't believe you.
Yep.
He acting suspicious. I got his phone. I checked it out, and he was speaking to 27 different women all at the same time.
Yeah.
And she said, it's absolutely crazy. Some of them are even married women that he somehow convinced that he was going to be better than their husbands were.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing. Yeah. I think that's a good, like, if anything, to kind of wrap it up. I think this was really good as far as for both of us to say, to realize that there are some people that aren't going to change. And that's really hard. I know when you have a faith and you know that God can move mountains, but there are some people that will not change. And I feel like Rex is one of them. God still can move mountains, but to be truthful, it'll take a mountain to be moved.
Well, yeah. And you know what? If I've learned nothing else, you guys, as a woman of faith, what I have learned is, you know, sometimes we look at a situation and we think, oh, well, God's in this and this is what God's going to do. And if I pray and if I do this and if I do that, but I'm telling you, there are some people that don't want to change, and they can be a faith-based person or say they're a faith-based person, or they cannot be. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want to change. Okay. And narcissistic behavior, extremely sad results on any kind of changes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And,
you know, it comes with its own set of major issues. It comes with so much gaslighting. It comes with so much manipulation, mind games. Oh my God, the mind games were insane. Like, you're always so confused, which is also why it's hard to break out of these relationships. You're so confused. You're not sure if you're the one crazy or they are, or if you're doing things wrong or they are. And then, you know, with these addictions come multiple other addictions. And mm-hmm. we didn't even talk about, Lizzie and I didn't even talk about the financial devastation that we had mm-hmm. the entire marriage.
Yeah.
You know, you're with somebody and all of a sudden you're so broke all the time and everything is just falling apart. And, you know, I filed bankruptcy twice in that marriage with him, and she filed bankruptcy once. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you walk out of there with nothing, with like nothing financially to show for it. And
right.
it's this whole set of toxic and damaging behaviors. It destroys your soul, and anybody mm-hmm. around them that has a soul, like kids or anybody else, but it also destroys you financially. And it takes away your ability to just believe in yourself, you know, and feel like you're a strong, confident person, because, you know, you're just constantly being mentally abused and played around with. That's the best way to say it.
And I think that's why Dina and I had started this process, because we want to help other women not just facilitate around escaping the bowl or spotting red flags, but also to walk beside women that are trying to heal after a very toxic relationship, you know, and, you know, that's why we're here. And our story, hopefully you might find points where you're like, I can relate with that. Hopefully you won't relate totally with us, because sometimes even she and I still look at each other and go, that was really gross. And so mm-hmm. we just want you to know that we're here. We look forward to sharing more stories with you all. We look forward to helping others. And, you know, we just thank you very much for taking the time to listen to our story.
Yeah. And just know that what we're offering is, you know, again, one-on-one coaching. I'm super passionate about the toxic relationship and trying to heal from a toxic relationship afterward, coaching and group coaching. And so is Lizzie. And then I'm also very passionate about just the health toll that it takes on your body. Mm-hmm. You know, you come out of that relationship and, you know, you might be dealing with major stress-related, you know, illnesses or complications, or, you know, weight gain, you know, exhaustion, just complete fatigue, completely feeling lost, brain fog. And God forbid if you're middle-aged like I was when you come out of it, because then you're dealing with menopause and you're dealing with all of those things that go along with it. And, you know, trying to get yourself into a healthy place mentally, emotionally, and physically. So we want to offer that. We want to offer those coaching services. And so again, you can go to our website and you can schedule a free discovery call where we can chat with you 30 minutes for free and see if we have a program that could work for you, that could help you. And we're so excited because we want to build a community of women that are, they've been there, they get it. Because if you haven't been there and you don't get it, it's so easy to say, well, just leave the guy. What are you doing?
Just get over it. just get over
leave
it.
And all your problems will be solved. Yeah. It's just not that easy. So we want to be there for you. So thank you so much for listening. We're going to have a lot of topics after this. We're going to talk about many different types of abuse, financial abuse. We're going to talk about divorce. We're going to talk about guilt and shame. We're going to have guest speakers on that tell their stories as well. And we just hope that you listen in.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Talk to you soon.